Yeah, this is the third installment of our four-week series here on Identity Matters, looking at who we are. The first week we talked a bit about where does that come from, what are the different ways we identify. Last week we talked about the brokenness of our identity, what happens to the depth of our identity when lies take over. Because that was something that happened at the very dawn of time as well. An adversary came in to our very good world and began to challenge the Word of God. And we saw what happens when lies take over and life becomes broken, and looking at how deep the impact of those lies can be. Today I wanted to talk about freedom. I wanted to talk to you about freedom, especially freedom to be truly free people living on the earth. So I want to start out again by asking some questions and see if you can tell me a little bit about the freedom that I'm asking you about. Different creatures have different places where they're free. Where would an eagle be free? In the sky. Yeah. An eagle is free in the sky. It's that majestic bird here in the United States, the American bald eagle. When you see it, there's actually one. There's several around, but there's one not too far from here that we see every once in a while. And to see just the majestic beauty of this eagle soaring on the winds high above, and just being in this place where that eagle is free to do and to be all that God had created it to be. What happens if? Let me go this way first. Where would you find the freedom of a fish? Into the water. We need more people to play along with this game, but I thank you that we have one that's willing to do that. Yeah, a fish is free in the water. What happens if you trade places with the eagle and the fish? What if you put the eagle underwater and you put the fish outside of that? They die. They can't survive. That's not the environment that is designed for them. How about a polar bear? Where is the free environment of the polar bear? In the Arctic, yeah, where it's cold. What if you put the polar bear in the Sahara Desert? Hey, it's gonna sweat an awful lot. Yeah, that bear would not be all that free. This is not a creature, but this is one. Well, for the kids that are already playing along, but. Kids, I got the attention of the kids. I can't see all of them. They're hidden here and there. But where is a kite free? In the sky. With the wind. On a string, yes. A kite is truly free in the sky or in the air. And it has to be a windy day, right, Tao?
Yep.
Today might be one of those days to actually fly a kite. There's just enough wind. But the kite also needs a string. I could throw a kite up into the air without the string, and is it going to be free?
No.
It's going to fall to the ground. There are different environments that different creatures or different things find their true freedom. What about you? What about people? Have you ever thought about where humans are free, truly free? That has all kinds of different things that may come up in your minds. Maybe you feel free when you don't have to work. Today is my free day. Maybe it's when you don't have any school work left to do and you're free from school for the summer. There's all kinds of ways that we might think of being free as people. free to express myself, free to do what I want, free to, and just fill in the blank, and just goes on and on, all these different layers of where freedom for us as people gets stirred up in our minds anywhere, anyway. But go back again to what we said about the eagle and the fish. The eagle is free in the environment that God had created for it, right? In the sky, soaring on the wind. The fish is free to swim in the water. Maybe the fish and the eagle both see each other as they sometimes they do. maybe the fish doesn't win when they do see each other, but if the eagle swoops down over the water and sees that, and it just looks like this beautiful place to be, and sees the fish moving along much like it does in the air, and thinks, I would love to be in that space. And the fish, on the same way, looking up through the water, up at the sky, and he sees this unrestricted space where the eagle can fly, and he says, boy, I would love to be in that space. I would love for that to be the way I live my life. But if they trade places, if they go outside of this perfect environment that God had created for them, they're no longer free. Quite the opposite. They will finally meet their death when they go outside of this space where God had created them to be free. As we looked at identity on week one, we had to go all the way back. So we looked at the ways we would identify ourselves by gender, by color, by occupation, by fatherhood, all these different things. What you're associated with, your organization that you belong to, all kinds of things. And those are layers of our identity. But we had to go back to the very beginning of our existence to figure out where did our identity come from? How is it that we're here? How is it that we are people that live here on the earth? So we went back to the very opening page of Scripture and saw that God created man in His image. And at the end of His days of creation, God looked at everything and He said, it is very good. Last week we realized that things are not very good anymore. But if we're trying to figure out where we're free, go back to the beginning again. I wanna remind you of where we had freedom challenged. When God had everything just the way He wanted for this existence between Himself and mankind, He set parameters around them. Much like the fish knows that if you get up on the shore, you've gone outside of the parameters of your freedom. Same way with the eagle. Once you get out of the airspace and into the water, you've gone outside of your place of freedom. Now for man, God put a border and a boundary around him as well. Listen to what it says in Genesis 2 at verse 15. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. Death sound like freedom to you? Death is that place where the consequences of us going outside of where we're free. God said, I have provided everything for you, the environment in which you live, the relationships that you have, and I've given you one simple command of showing honor and trust to me that you don't eat of that tree. There's a good reason for that. You're free to eat from anything. This is the space in which man is truly free within the space that God created and listens to His voice. But man didn't. And man lost some of his freedom. If we stay inside the bounds that God has for us, we're free. If Adam and Eve would have honored God in that way, to listen to what He says, and to remain in that free space by listening to His commands and living together with Him and with others to be fruitful and multiply and to fill the earth, to carry out what God had commanded him, mankind would have stayed free. But our freedom was lost when we disobeyed. And that was the thing that would set the rest of humanity into motion. So when we come into this world, there's a disconnect between what God intends for us, still intends for us, and what we find in our existence now. We are not free. We try to express ourselves in different ways, where we try to express our freedom. I'm free to do this and free to do that. But that's not necessarily the case. Jesus had said it this way in the book of John chapter 8, starting at verse 31. He's talking to a group of people, the Jewish people there, people that were of the same descendants as he was by way of racial ancestry. To the Jews who had believed, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples." It's this connection that the people would have with Jesus. "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants." Correct. That's where the Jewish people came out of. God built a nation, the Hebrews, the Jewish people, out of this one man, Abraham, and said, "This is going to be my people." So they're both tracing their lineage to the same point. Jesus born tracing his mother's history back to their early origins, can go all the way back through Abraham as well. And the people that are there with Jesus say the same thing. "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone." I would take issue with them on that point, but that's a story for another time. "How can you say then that we shall be set free? We're not slaves to anybody." How do you say that we are slaves now, that we are not free? Jesus said this in reply, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family. The slave isn't a member of the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Jesus is talking here about what sets us free and brings it back to that deep identity we have at the beginning of time. And he continues to equate being free by continuing to keep the command of God. Anybody have done that completely, fully, faithfully, never sinned? Yeah, we've not done that. But freedom sounds great, doesn't it? It does. It sounds like this wonderful place to be. How do you get there, though? Anybody here just grow tired and weary of the sin that still exists, not just out there someplace, but in here too? I get so tired of struggling against my human nature that still plagues me. We talked about that a little bit last week and last Sunday night too. There's this nature in us that we are all born with that is broken and sinful. We have inherited that sinful nature, and we have all, every one of us, participated in it. And because of that sin that still resides in us, I'm not free. And I grow tired of that. Jesus had an answer, though. How do you get from, I know where we began life, I know why our world exists in the way it does now, but I still long for freedom, real, true, lasting freedom. How do you get there? Jesus said this in Matthew 11. Come to me. First thing to remember. Come to Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, freedom, peace. That's that place that I want to get to instead of being overcome by my sins. So then he says it this way, and this takes a little bit of understanding, I think. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Wait. I'm talking about being free. And Jesus said, if you want to be free, you need to put my yoke on you. Yoke yourself with me. So we've talked about this here in farming country. For those that are of the city and don't know what a yoke is or haven't seen one, it's typically two cows, which is used to two cows hitched together, and they have this yoke that sits over the neck of each one of them, and a pair of them would be yoked together, and they would do the work together of tilling the land. And so Jesus is giving this illustration here in talking about being free. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Imagine you're the new young bull that's not quite strong enough yet, and you're yoked with Jesus. I'm going to learn from my big brother here, and we're going to go through the field, and he's going to show me how to do this. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. He's using language that sounds like you're not exactly free, right? If Jesus said, if you want to be free, you need to stay yoked with me. Well, where can you go then? If you're yoked with Jesus, you can only go where Jesus goes. Now, if you think about that long enough, that's a good thing. If you remember what Scripture says about being connected to Jesus, that's a wonderful thing. It just doesn't sound that way when people hear about life in Jesus. You need to always be connected to Him, always need to be yoked with Him. It's that connection to Jesus. Come to me, He said. That's the way Jesus started His ministry. Mark, the Gospel writer, tells us that when Mark introduces Jesus into his gospel, he has Jesus saying this, the time is fulfilled, Jesus said, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Jesus would give that invitation of being free, and he would say, come to me, and he would say to the people then as well, to repent. Because freedom doesn't exist when we're burdened down by sin. And every one of us here, I think, can give testimony to that. I remember once, I've shared this before, and Mom, I don't know if you've known that, but I share this story a lot. There was a time when I don't know how old I was, maybe 8-10 years old, and I broke one of your plates. Oh, I felt awful, and I also didn't want to get punished. So I hid my mother's plate in a box or something in the basement, along the wall, just before you get to the washer and dryer, with the furnace over here and this wall here. So there's a box on the floor, and it was loaded with different stuff that we just didn't go into all the time. That would be a good place to put it and cover it up a little bit. I remember walking past that box for however long it was in there, and my sin, the breaking of the plate wasn't so much the sin. I just didn't confess that. I didn't let my mother know about that. So every time I would see that, it would just bother me. It's that guilty conscience that we have in sin. We're just not free. my mother didn't know at the time that I had done that, so it's, to that degree, I should be free. But every time I would walk past that box, I knew I wasn't. Until she discovered it one day. And we talked about it. And it wasn't so much that I broke it. It's just that I hid it from her. I didn't let her know. It wasn't one of her best china. It was probably one of those, I shouldn't say that, the one that we found in the dump. But anyway, it wasn't one of the greatest plates in the world, but I just didn't tell her what I had done. And I put a distance between me and her. That's what sin does. It distances us between our lives and God's lives. And so Jesus said, come to me on the one hand, and then he also says, repent and believe the gospel. The gospel is a fancier word for good news. Jesus came to declare good news on the earth. For those people that were still trapped in their own sin, which was everybody, there is a way to get out of that. There is a way to finally be free. Romans 6, verse 8 goes on. Paul, the Apostle Paul, says this. And having been set free from sins, we have become slaves of righteousness. That's what it says. You've been set free from sin and have become slaves of righteousness. The Bible seems to be this confusing story. You are free and you're yoked together. You're free and yet you're a slave. Paul, the apostle, James, and Jude, and Peter, other New Testament writers, they would all identify themselves as slaves of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they would proclaim freedom to you in what they wrote. Just a few verses earlier in that same book, Romans 6, Paul explains that. He says, do you not know that if you offer yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one to whom you obey? Make sense? If you offer yourself to somebody as a slave, you are slaves to the one that you offered yourself to. I'm going to be your servant. I'm going to be your slave. And that could either be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, trusting in God, believing in the good news of the gospel, which leads to righteousness. What we need to understand is what the Bible says. You will be a slave one way or the other. But the only way to be truly free is to be the slave of Christ, the slave of righteousness, seeking after what he says, coming to this place of repentance. It doesn't exist outside of that. Freedom does not exist outside of the will of God. That's what the snake, the enemy, the devil, the adversary in the Garden of Eden promised Adam and Eve. You can do it a different way. I'll show you a different path to freedom so you don't have to be constrained by everything that God says. Except for when Adam and Eve disobeyed, they were no longer free. They were actually afraid. They were never afraid before. They were embarrassed. They felt totally exposed. Freedom was gone at that point. And Jesus says, if you want to get back to that place, that environment that you are truly free, shed that sin. Come to the cross of Jesus, because Jesus did what you and I never could do. He lived a perfect life. Absolutely flawless in every aspect, thought, word, deed, everything, his intentions. Even though he was faced with the same temptations and trials of life that you and I are. But he did it in a way that he continued to put his trust in his Father and became the example for us on what it is to be free. He lived the life that we couldn't. He died the death that we deserved. He took our place. He paid for our sins and then conquered sin and death by overcoming the cross and the grave and is raised to eternal life. There is this wonderful, maybe I've mentioned it once or twice, about what it is to be free. If you want to know your deep identity, does anybody know where I'm going with this yet? There's a chapter of the Bible, have you heard me say this before? That if you want to know the way God sees you as truly free, you'll find it at least in Ephesians chapter 1. I wanted to read part of that. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Think about your own life. What plagues you? The things from your past, the things from your present, those things that you struggle with in the core of who you are, that you want to get rid of, that still continues to work against you. Think about who you are and what you often think of yourself in those times, and then hear these words for the way God would see you if you have believed in His Son, repented of your sins, and yoke yourself forever with Him. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says once again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. Sound like that deep-rooted identity thing again? Chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glory, with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him, 5 letters in the English, 2 words, and 2 of the most powerful words for identity in Scripture. In Him, we have redemption through His blood. You familiar with redemption? You had something before, you lost it. Maybe if you think of you gave up something that you owned once, and finally, in order to get it back, you had to pay a price to redeem that which used to be yours. That's what it's talking about here. In love, He predestined us for adoptions according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glory. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of His grace, which He sprinkled on us. No. According to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us, in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to the purpose which He set forth in Christ. You want to find out God's true purpose for you, your true deep identity, that which gives you true freedom? It is in His purpose that He set forth in Christ as a plan for all the fullness of time to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him, we went through this chapter a number of months ago, and we looked at every time it talked about being in Christ, being in Him, what God has done for us. And this chapter is loaded with what God has done and how He sees us in Christ, in Him. When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. In Him, we are truly set free. There is not another way, brothers and sisters. There is not another way that you and I can find freedom. You can choose different things. You can choose to hide things from people when you've done wrong. You can choose to lie about something. You can choose to take something that doesn't belong to you. You can choose to go against the promise you made in your marriage. You can choose to do all kinds of things. You can choose to express yourself this way or that way and say, I'm going to change the way I want to, who I want to be. You can choose those things, but you can't choose freedom outside of Christ. You can't. The environment in which you and I are truly free is in Christ and in His will, according to His purpose. All those things that we talked about, all those things that Paul was talking about there in the book of Ephesians, in Him, according to His will, His purpose, which He had planned from before time began, in that space, you and I are truly free. That's where we're ending up at the end of time, if you are in Him. That's where we get to this place of being truly free. You have the choice to go against that. But you won't find freedom there. It doesn't exist. But thanks be to God, He has given us a way that in Christ Jesus, we have such a simple part in becoming truly free. One, acknowledge that you and I are sinners. Two, acknowledge that Jesus did for us what we could never do and took what we deserved and then gave us in response to that His righteousness. You get to be truly free when you go through that process. You can choose not to do that. You can. God has said that from the very beginning. He left Adam and Eve with the choice. The tree is there. I'm promising you life in my presence. You are free to eat from anything. Not that one, though. He said to His people, Israel, you may choose which way you want, blessings or curses. It's yours to choose. Repeatedly throughout the Bible, there's always the choice that God's people have. There's always the choice that every human creature has to find our true and deep and lasting identity as God laid it out from the dawn of time and fulfilled that in Christ, or you can choose to go another way. But in Him, I am totally free. I still wrestle with tendencies in my own life, but I know this. Christ has set me free from the penalty of that sin. He even sets me free of the guilt of that sin. It's how, being in Him, I can be holy and blameless. It doesn't mean I'm not going to sin. But I'm set apart for God in such a way that I will always listen to what He says. And when He says, you did that wrong, my son, you're right, Dad, I will confess that. When we listen to what He says, we can be holy before Him and blameless. And so when we confess our sins and the devil tries to come in behind us and say, yes, but you did that. Yeah, I know. But I've been forgiven. That blame is not my own anymore. That doesn't belong to me. That's what we have in Christ. Otherwise, it's the person that is weary and heavy laden with the burden. That's what we keep carrying until we come to life in Christ. In Christ, we are truly free. When the Son sets you free, what happens? You are free indeed. When the Son sets you are free indeed. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we just marvel at the plan that You have for humanity. You have this open invitation to anyone who would come. Come to Me. Any of you, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will find salvation. There is this clear and open invitation in Scripture. to any that would come. There is this sense that that is the clear way in which we come into life in Christ, to come out of the depths of sin and into the true identity that truly belongs to us in Christ. So, Father, even for those of us that have been maybe long-time professing Christians, we still have this message to remember that in Christ I'm free. Not to go back to a life of slavery, not to give in to the lies of the enemy, but to live in response to what Christ has done for us. And so, Father, as long-term adults, followers of Jesus, we just recommit ourselves to You. And Father, for those that may have never actually come to that place where they recognize that their sin was crushing them, and the only way out of that, and for life to continue in their own time, and for life to continue for them in all of eternity, was to come out from underneath that sin by confessing that they are responsible for that, and they believe in the message of Jesus, that if we come, He will take that burden and give us the rest we so desire. So, Father, if there are any here this morning that are still being crushed by the weight of sin, I pray that Your Spirit brings them to this place, even now, where they would confess that, seek for the freedom that is truly Yours in Christ. For those, Father, that would be listening to this either now or later, I pray, Father, that they also would come to this place of saying, I am tired of being burdened by my own sins. I am responsible for them, but I want to give that up. I want to be free in Christ. I give Him my burden. I give Him my sin. I recognize that He has paid that for me, and I want life in Christ. I want freedom to live and to be truly free in the environment that He's created me. So, Father, work in our hearts and lives that we may celebrate that freedom that we have in You. And may You continue to encourage us in this life until we acquire, as the passage said, full possession of that absolute freedom in Christ. Until that day, Father, find us faithful in all that we do and encourage us on the road. Help us to be encouragers as well. Thank You for the good news in Jesus Christ. Amen. We have an opportunity to respond. Now, that's what I love about songs that God has laid on the hearts of people, to give expression to what do you say? What would my response be to this? People have asked that question before as the gospel presentation was being given to them, and they said, brothers, what should we do? People have written songs that would give expression to the faith that we own or the faith that we want to own. So I invite you to stand and sing
number 8.
On page 8. 4.
Page 8.
Nope. Page 8. What's on page 8? Yes. Page 4. I'm no longer slaves to fear. I'm tired of living in fear that my life is going to come to ruin. I'm tired of living in that place of knowing that outside of Christ, my sin will crush me. And I don't want to live in that place. I'm no longer a slave of fear. Would you stand together and sing?